ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय आर्यस्ते निहते द्वैत्ये कृष्णेनाभूतकर्मणा खांसायाथः भगवान् नारदो देवदर्शनः After Aristasura had been killed by Krishna, who acts wonderfully, Narada Muni went to speak to King Kamsa. That powerful sage of godly vision addressed the king as follows. Purport. The term Devadarshan can be understood in many ways, all of which are consistent with the context and purport of this narration. Deva means God, and darshan means seeing, or an audience with a great personality. Thus, Deva Darshan, a name for Narada Muni, indicates that Narada has attained the perfection of seeing God, that getting Narada's audience is as good as getting God's. Since Narada is a pure representative of the Lord, and also that Narada's audience is as good as that of the demigods, who are also known as devas, that there are all these meanings of the term Devadarshana reveal something of the richness of Srimad Bhagavatam's language. From the Puranas, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has quoted 20 verses describing a conversation between Radha and Krishna that took place after Krishna had killed the demon Arista. This conversation, so kindly quoted by the Acharyas, describes the origin of Radha Kund and Shyam Kund, Radha's and Krishna's bathing ponds. The verses are as follows. The innocent young gopi said, Ah, Krishna, don't touch us now, O killer of a bull. Alas, even though Arista was a terrible demon, still he was a male cow. So you will now have to undergo atonement, just as Lord Indra did after killing Vritrasura. But how can you purify yourself without going to the trouble of visiting every single holy place in the three worlds? Krishna replied, Why should I have to wander throughout the entire universe? I will at once bring all the countless pilgrimage places here and take my bath in them. Just watch. With this, Lord Mukunda struck his heel on the ground.
Hare Krishna. You're honored by the presence of His Holiness Dhanadhar Swami Maharaj. We also have our beloved Sridharji. And we have Bryn, who is the teacher and owner of the Yoga Maya Yoga Institute in New York City. She loves kirtan and Krishna. We have Kostuva Prabhu and his good wife, Gita Priya Devi. And we have Patrick G. from Munich, Germany, and Chaitanya Ras. Sharon, Ganon, Padma Devi, and Jewels, wherever they may be. Which other special guests are here? Of course, everyone's special, but not necessarily a guest. And to all of you, today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 36, entitled The Slaying of Arista, the Bull Demon. Text number 16. In yesterday's class, we were discussing from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Chaitanya Shikshamrita, how he describes that when Krishna comes to this earth, he has limitless pastimes or leelas. Some are nitya leela. The intimate loving exchanges with his devotees that take place forever in this spiritual world and are manifested here in Boma Vrindavan, the Vrindavan of this earth planet, like the Ras Leela, like the Leelas of Yashoda, Krishna, the Leelas of Krishna playing with the gopas, the cowherd boys, in the pastures of Prajbhumi. And there is also Naimittika Leela, which is the occasional pastimes that Krishna especially manifests within this material world. Among those are the liberation of many demons. They are to fulfill one of Krishna's promises in Bhagavad Gita. Paritra naya sadhunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma samstapanaradaya sambhavami juge juge. That again and again I come to this world to protect those with piety and devotion, to reestablish the true principles of religion, and to cleanse the world of demoniac influences. At the same time, whatever Krishna does can serve limitless purposes. Bhaktivinoda Thakur especially focuses on how, in order to cleanse our hearts through bhakti and develop the seed of prema or love that's within our heart, many weeds will grow along with it as we're doing this watering process. And many obstacles, both from outside of us and from within us, will come to impede or distract our progress. Some of the principal distractions or obstructions are represented by these demons. We've been reading about Arista. We were speaking yesterday that according to the Vedic literatures, a bull represents dharma. And dharma stands on four legs: cleanliness, truthfulness, austerity, and compassion and mercy toward others. But unfortunately, the tendency within us, and very rampant tendency of people all around us, is in the name of religion to not base our spirituality on these four principles. Krishna tells in Gita, in this age of Kali, which is an age of quarrel and hypocrisy, what is religion is taken to be irreligion, and what is irreligion is taken to be religion. So here is a very powerful, envious, arrogant person who took the sacred system of yoga and misused it for his own demoniac purposes. In this world, even the best gifts that God gives us could be used by the ego, the ahankar, as weapons against God. Those things which are meant to bring humility and compassion, those same things could be used as weapons of arrogance and cruelty. Education is power. The people creating the bombs that are threatening the world and the environmental disastrous situations that's polluting the world, they're not just the simple farmers in the villages. They're people with gigantic educations from the highest universities. So education could create immense good or immense harm, depending on the character of who possesses it. Power, influence. We see how kings like Parikshit, Yudhisthira, he had the power of king and he made the whole world happy with devotion. Previous to him, Duryodhana had the same throne. And he tormented the innocent with that power. So here is this person who did lifetimes of tapasya and yogic meditation and austerities and sacrifices, yajnas. And with his power, due to the bad association of Kamsa and others, he manifested the form of a giant bull that represents religion, dharma. But his purpose, instead of to develop love for God, was he was competing with God. He wanted to kill God to put himself in that position. And he really believed he could, because he was so infatuated, so intoxicated by his power, his knowledge, his influence. And he really thought he was right. At the same time, as we quoted Bhaktivinod Thakur yesterday, Namaruchi, Jivadoya, Sarvadharmasar. That the essence of all dharma, whatever you call it, is to develop love for Krishna, to develop love for God, by developing a taste for the chanting of the names. And the testimony that we're actually having a taste for the chanting of names and love of God is manifesting in our hearts is Jivadoya. We become compassionate. We become very kind and merciful to all living beings. Jivadoya. Not Indian Doya or American Doya, or black or white, or red doya, or Hindu doya, or human doya. Jiva. Jiva means every plant, every insect, every fish, every animal, every species, every bird in the sky, every type of human, wherever there's life, we see Krishna within them, a child of Krishna. But Aristasura, he was terrorizing everybody, and his goal was to kill Krishna and kill everyone in Vrindavan. And in the previous verses, we find he was so big, when he was galloping, it was creating such trembling in the earth, like earthquakes. And the innocent mothers of the cows and the goats and the sheep and the buffaloes and the gopis, the humans who were pregnant, they were having miscarriages. It was so horrifying. But he wasn't thinking, look at how much suffering. It was just about him. That's the nature of the ego. Humility makes the heart very soft, where we actually feel compassion, kindness, paradukaduki, where other people's suffering, we relate to it. We identify with it. We suffer with them. And other people's happiness is our happiness. But the false ego is, we're no longer, Krishna's in the center. I'm in the center. It's about me. It's about my popularity. It's about my sensory satisfaction. It's about my position. It's about my wealth. It's about my accomplishments. The Gita tells that bewildered by this ahankar, false ego, prakrite kriyamana niguna karmani sarvasya ahankara, we think ourselves the doer of our activities. We forget that Krishna is the ability in man. Krishna is the intelligence of the intelligence. Krishna is the strength of the strong. Krishna is the source of everything. When we take ourself out of the center, then we're actually liberated. Then only can we find happiness. Because we can't take ourselves out of the center unless we put Krishna in the center. And that's truth. That's reality. And through that process, our love for Krishna and our jiva doya, our compassion, awakens. So Krishna effortlessly grabbed the horns of Aristasura, threw him down about 18 meters away, just to humiliate him. Because Krishna didn't grow into a big giant warrior. He was just a little cowherd boy with a little forest flower garland in his shoulder. He didn't even go in a pose to wrestle him. He just stood with his arm on his friend, smiling. Aristasura got up again and was even more angry, and Krishna flipped him over, and then with his very soft, tender little foot, he kicked him. And that was the end of Aristasura. Today's verse. After seeing this, Narada Muni, he wanted to serve Krishna's purpose. He understood that Krishna had performed the wonderful pastimes that he desired in Vrindavan. And now it was time for him to rescue Devaki and Vasudev, his mother and father in Mathura. And it was time to fulfill his original purpose of coming to this world on one level, where Brahma and the Devas all prayed, Krishna, please come and free us from this Kamsa and all of his associates. They're causing so much suffering and illusion. So Narada Muni, he was such a great devotee, and he was so inconceivable in his kindness to everyone that everyone liked him. Even if they hated everything he represented, they liked him. Does that make sense? Kamsa hated everything Narada represented. Narada Muni is the author of the Bhakti Sutras, which is describing the most intimate love of the gopis and the gopas for Krishna and how to attain that love. And Kamsa, his whole purpose in life was to kill Krishna. He sent one after another and never gave up his cause. He's the one that sent Aristasura and Putana and Agasura and Bakasura and Vatsasura, Vyomasura, Keshi. So Narada Muni is coming to meet Kamsa. But Kamsa understood that the powers that he gained was from getting blessings of great souls and from performing yogic austerities. So he didn't want to do anything Narada wanted, but he wanted his blessings. So Narada came in and Kamsa honored him. And Narada is now telling Kamsa about the kind of stuff Krishna's doing. And Kamsa's becoming outraged. And he's going to make a plan to bring Krishna out of Vrindavan into his own. In sports, you're supposed to have an advantage on your home court or whatever it is. Yes, in your home field. Okay. Krishna and Kamsa was sending his best warriors to Vrindavan, and they were all. Krishna never used a weapon for any of them in Vrindavan. Never used a Sudarshan chakra, never used a club, Putana. He just sucked her breast with his lips. He killed her with his lips. And Trinavarta took Krishna away in the sky with the intention to kill him. And Krishna was just a little tiny baby. He was only about this big. And he was so high up, and like a baby, when you take a baby really, really high up in the sky, they kind of, they want to hold on to something. So he just put his arm around Trinavarta's neck, and this little baby arm, so soft, and he just went, and he strangled Trinavarta. And he became very heavy, but he didn't increase in size. How is that possible? How can something this big that weighs about 5 pounds all of a sudden weigh 10 million pounds? That's what Krishna did. None of his features changed. Yashoda Mai picks up Krishna all the time. She's just a little gopi. But here's this man. Unbelievable, powerful warrior could not hold up Krishna. So Krishna did everything in such a childlike way. For Kaliya, Kaliya was trying to bite Krishna with hundreds of hoods and poisons, and Krishna just danced. And with his dancing feet, he defeated Kaliya. So this is Vrindavan. So through Narada's influence, Kamsa understood, you know, sending to Krishna's home, it's not working. I need the advantage of being in my home. So he was going to invite Krishna to Mathura, where Kamsa had all sorts of plans, Kuvalayapida and Chanuramushtika. And Narada Muni, His only interest was to be an instrument to fulfill Krishna's purpose. And in this particular verse, it's described, because Narada Muni was seeing Krishna everywhere, because of the love for Krishna that was enshrined within his heart, whoever saw him, it was like seeing Krishna. Vidura, the great uncle of the Pandavas, when he came to meet Yudhisthira Maharaj after long years of pilgrimage, Yudhisthira Maharaj recited this verse, Bhavadvida Bhagavata. That great devotees like you are holy places personified. All the holy places in all the worlds are manifested wherever a saintly person is. Why is that? What makes a holy place holy? The presence of God. We go to Jagannath Puri because Jagannath is there. Krishna. If Jagannath was not there, only tourists would be going to Puri to bathe in the beach. People go to Puri because that is where Jagannath is giving his darshan. And during Rath Yatra, we were there last year, and according to government statistics, there was 1.2 million people on the same road at the same time. Dancing, singing, coming to see Jagannath. Vrindavan, by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and other great acharyas who he has empowered. Vrindavan is a simple forest. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in that simple forest, which was just simple little villages in the forest, he told the six Goswamis to make a holy place there and build temples. Not just little temples, Govindaji Temple, Madan Mohan Temple, Radha Gopinath Temple, Radha Raman Temple. Prabhupada wanted us to establish holy places. Sometimes people say, well, why do you want to disturb the village atmosphere of some place and build, you know, the place of pilgrimage? What did the Goswamis do in Vrindavan? That's our Narottam Das Thakur, so the path of perfection is to follow in the footsteps of the six Goswamis. Out of compassion. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he created a scene where now there's over 5,000 temples in Vrindavan. Why? Because Krishna's there, because Radharani's there. People go to Ayodhya because Ram, Sita, and Lakshman are there. Chitrakoot, Rameshwaram. People go to Varanasi because Mahadev Shiva's there. So places are holy because of Krishna's presence. But according to the Shastras, more than anywhere else, Krishna's presence in the hearts of his devotees. Even the Bhagavatam tells that if you go to a holy place just to bathe in the rivers, you only get a small benefit. The real benefit of going to the holy places is to meet and hear from the holy people in the holy places, because they reveal the holiness of the place. Otherwise, we see much but understand little. But wherever great devotees are, Tatra Tishtami Narada Yatra Gayanti Madhata, wherever they are chanting the holy names, wherever they are speaking about the Lord, wherever they are serving the Lord, wherever they are showing compassion on behalf of the Lord, all the holy places are there. So by seeing Narada Muni, Kamsa was seeing Krishna. Because Krishna was manifesting in his words, Krishna was manifesting in his from his heart through everything he did. That's bhakti. Jivara Swarupoi Krishna Nityadas. When we really believe and live by this principle that we are eternally the servants of Krishna, then Krishna manifests through us. And Narada Muni, in his own special, inconceivable, unique way, is transforming Kamsa's heart. And although Kamsa had no idea what was going on, Narada Muni was actually setting up this scenario where this most evil, demoniac, violent, arrogant person was going to get liberation. So while this is going on in Mathura, Narada Muni is telling Kamsa, you know what Krishna, you know what this little boy Krishna has just done? Do you know who he really is? Did you know that in your previous birth, he killed you? And he told him all the details of how he killed him. And he said, and now, your name was Kalanemi, and he was Vishnu, and he killed you like this, and now he's come back to kill you again, unless you get him first. He comes in. Sometimes preachers are not stereotype. Sometimes they do the needful to actually help people, to save people. You know, if somebody's in a battlefield and they're dying and, you know, a medical surgeon is there and, you know, he sees the person laying there and the person says, save me. And he says, well, I don't have the proper sanitation according to the laws of medicine. I don't have the proper sterilization and I don't have a proper operating table and I don't have the proper instruments and I don't have He just does what he needs to do to save his life. That's kind of what Prabhupada did when he went to the West. Somebody asked him, how did you start a movement like this? You know, so many temples, so many books, so many everything. And Prabhupada said, there's a story of a man, he was walking down the road, he didn't have anything, he had no money, no help, and he saw a pumpkin. And he picked up it was an old dried pumpkin, and he just picked up the old dried pumpkin. And then he walked a little further and he saw a wire. So he picked up the wire and he strung the wire and he found a stick. He picked up the stick. He attached the old stick to the dried pumpkin and then put the wire across it and made it into a musical instrument. Doom, 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 like that. They made a nice instrument. And started a business like that. Prabhupada said, that's how I started. I just saw you like dried pumpkins and old sticks and wires. I just put you all together, what Krishna gave, and we started this movement. So that's nice. So Narada Muni, out of his deep compassion, not only for Kamsa, but for all living beings, he's doing the needful. Meanwhile, special effects.
Meanwhile,
in Vrindavan,
the most beautiful pastime is taking place. We can speak many different perspectives of this pastime, but I'd like to begin by showing how Krishna, when we turn to Krishna, Krishna can transform the worst scenario into the best scenario. He can take situations that apparently are so negative and create something extremely sacred and positive. This is a principle. It's a universal principle on every level of life, and especially it's to be understood from a spiritual dimension. That the obstacles, the challenges, the difficulties that come actually could pave the way to an incredible opportunity. Wisdom is to see positive opportunities in every situation. Not just the situations we hope for, we pray for, or we plan for. But other things too. Even tragedies. Even apparent defeat can actually become something beautiful if we just take shelter of Krishna in that situation. How can I serve you? That's the greatest prayer. This Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, it's an invocation of Sri Radha's names and Krishna's names. But Srila Prabhupada gave us a mood, a prayer in which we chant. My dear Sri Radha, my dear Sri Krishna, please engage me in your service. When we have this desire to serve, then Krishna reveals opportunities. Krishna reveals ways that we could really grow, even in inconceivable, even insurmountable circumstances. That is bhakti. Tatenukam pamsusa mikshamano. Even when great reversals come in our life, even that cause us suffering, if with a grateful heart we take shelter of Krishna, thank you, then the doors to liberation open for us. It's a long history, but this Radha Gopinath temple that we're all coming to, I'm not going to go into any of the details because they're too inconceivable. But this started under, and don't ask any questions either. It started under inconceivable, painful circumstances. Otherwise, just none of this would be here. Gopinath wouldn't have come here to Bombay. But somehow or other, even in very difficult challenges, painful challenges, somehow, what opportunity is here? How could we serve? And the temple rose. At Juhu, where we're giving a lecture tonight. Every year on Republic Day, we give a temple on the rooftop of the Juhu Temple. So if you're free, please come tonight. And also come to the Kirtan Mela that Prem Kirtan and others are organizing in February. And everything else. So
kinds of difficulties Prabhupada endured. But because he saw the opportunity, it's now the most famous, wonderful temple in all of Maharashtra, Bombay. So here we find Aristasura. He is a Dharma personified. Such a hypocrite. He's come in the form of a bull, the emblem of Dharma. The emblem of compassion and goodness, he's coming for the most evil, destructive purposes. And he came just at the time when Krishna called the gopis to dance. It seems like he disrupted things. But Krishna transforms everything into something so nice. In the previous verse, we find Krishna called the gopis. It was a beautiful moonlit night. Let us have our Raslila. And they all came to enjoy Raslila with Krishna, the highest, sweetest, purest, most intimate exchange of love, where the eternal liberated soul dances forever with the ultimate object of their love, Krishna. And all of a sudden, Aristasura comes charging in. And after Krishna did that, he called the gopis and said, now let us dance. And gopis say, we cannot dance with you. So why you're not going to dance with me? Because you killed a bull. We are ahimsa, we are nonviolent. You are Gopal, you are protector of cows. Why you killed a male cow? Good logic. Just close by is Govardhan, which means one who nourishes the cows and the bulls and the senses and the land. Krishna said that wasn't a bull, that was a demoniac Rakshasa person who disguised himself in that form just to kill every one of you and me and everyone. He was a terrorist. He was really a terrorist. These people Kamsa was sending, they were terrible terrorists. And they all disguised themselves in so many ways. Vatsasura disguised himself as a little playful calf. Pudana disguised herself as a loving, beautiful mother. Agasura disguised himself as an incredible place for the children to play. Yes? So many were disguising in certain ways just to deceive with an evil purpose. So Krishna said, I saved you. He wasn't a bull, he was in disguise. They said, no, still he was like that. So we will not dance with you unless you go to all the holy places in the entire universe and take your bath. Of course they were playful. They didn't mean anything they were saying. They meant to give pleasure to Krishna. That's what they meant. And Krishna wanted to do something wonderful. He said, all right, I will do that. And he took his foot, the heel of his foot, and hit it against the ground and made a little hole. And then he called all the holy places in the entire universe to come and put their waters in that pond that he was creating. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in the future pages that we will be reading in future days of our Bhagavatam Kathas, all these holy places came personified. And they filled up the lake. And Krishna bathed in it. And then Krishna said, now I am pure. Krishna purifies everything, but still, for gopis, he's having this beautiful lila. And you sided with a demon. What about you? And Sri Radha, he said, you should come and bathe in my pond. And Radharani said, I'm not going to bathe in a pond that is the result of killing a bull. I will make my own pond. And here is the message that we are focusing on. They came to the hoof print of Aristasura. Yes. The demon came to kill, to terrorize, and he did cause all these miscarriages and everything. And her little gopi friend started excavating the hoof print of Aristasura. So what was the emblem of the darkest, most terrible thing? They were using it as a basis to create what was to be Radha Kund, the holiest place in all of creation. Hari Hari. So gopis started digging with their hands, and some started taking off their bangles to dig better, and then they kind of excavated Aristasura's hoof print, because he had big hoofs. And then she called her gopis to go to Manasi Ganga, which is non different than the Ganga that Krishna, through his mind, brought to Vrindavan. And they were taking buckets and passing them from Manasi Ganga to fill. And Krishna signaled to the personification of the representative of all the holy places in creation. And that personality came before Sri Radha with folded palms and praised Srimati Radharani that you are the supreme Shakti of the Absolute Truth. Your devotion conquers even Krishna. Your love is the source of all love. Your blessing is the ultimate goal of all life. We beg you, please fulfill our one desire. And this holy place personified was weeping tears of humility, begging Sri Radha, please fulfill our one desire. And she said, what is your desire? And he said, please let us fill your lake with our waters. And Krishna was smiling. And Radha saw this. This was what would please Krishna. And she said to the holy place personified, please come. And then the waters of Shamkund, Krishna's Kund, lifted up and flooded over to Radha Kund. Krishna told Srimati Radharani that there is no place in all of the universe more dear to me than your bathing place, Radha Kund. Krishna said, anyone who comes here to bathe in this water will get your love and will conquer me by that love. And Radharani said, and I will bathe in your kund. I don't care how many aristas you kill. I will come and bathe in your and. In this way, they bathed in each other's kunds, and they bathed in both kunds, and the gopis, and Sri Krishna, and Sri Radha, and then throughout the night, they performed their Raslila on the banks of Sri Radha Kund and Shama Kund. later on, Raghunath Das Goswami came to live there. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, before that, he came to Vrindavan about 4,000 years later, and he, 4,500 years later, he came to Vrindavan on a pilgrimage for 2 months, and he was especially looking for Radha Kund and Shyam Kund. Because all over thousands and thousands of years, these holy places were forgotten. But he went to a place called Arithagram, which is named after Aristasura. Because he knew that Radha Kund was made from the hoof print of Aristasura, the place where Arista was liberated. By the way, Aristasura got liberation by Krishna. It's not that he was killed. He was actually, his demoniac nature was killed, and he attained the ultimate liberation. So, Lord Chaitanya, when he was at the Govardhan Hill performing his parikrama, he was sitting under a tamal tree. And there, being Krishna, with the Mahabhav of Sri Radha, Radha Bhava Duti Suvalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupam, he was seeing his own eternal Leela. And he saw two puddles of water in a paddy field. And nobody thought they were anything but puddles of water in a paddy field. Muddy little puddles. And he saw, this is Radha Kund, Shyam Kund. The entire world, even the greatest acharyas, yogis, they couldn't find it. But he's Krishna. He's Radha. He's seeing it. And he went into such an ecstasy. He got up from that tamal tree and he went to Radha Kund and Shyam Kund and was chanting the holy names. He bathed in that kund. He was weeping tears. He came out of the bath. He started offering beautiful, beautiful prayers from the Puranas and from the Vedas about how Radha Kund is none different than Sri Radha. The water in that kund is filled with her love. And anyone who sincerely humbles himself at that kund will be as dear to Krishna as Radha, because it's so dear to Sri Radha. Then he took the mud from that kund and made tilak on 12 parts of his body. Then he collected the mud to take with him. And the villagers were watching. This most beautiful, magnanimous sannyasi, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's just in these are fields that they just, you know, would bring their goats and buffaloes and cows to every now and then to drink the water. Well, they understood. This is Radha Kund and Shyam Kund. We read about it. It's exalted in the Vedas as the holiest place in the universe. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discovered it for the whole world. And Raghunath Das Goswami, who was the servant of his personal secretary, the servant of the servant for many years in Jagannath Puri, the Prayojan Acharya, he came to live at Radha Kund for the rest of his life after Lord Chaitanya departed from this world. And he was living next to those little puddles. And so many stories of Raghunath Das Goswami at that place. One time Sanatan Goswami was traveling around and he was doing the Govardhan Parikrama, and he came and he saw Raghunath Das Goswami sitting in total absorption of the samadhi of prema, of love, chanting Krishna and Radha's names on the banks of these ponds. And because in those days it was just jungle all around it, and there was just some little villages nearby, he was so absorbed in his chanting, just sitting on the ground, he didn't see that a tiger was just a few feet away from him, drinking the water from Radhakund. When Sanatan Goswami saw a tiger, and Raghunath is just eyes closed, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Now he's transcendental, but the nature of devotees is we care for each other. Yes? So Sanatan Goswami was a tiger. Then he saw Krishna personally appear and stand between Raghunath Das Goswami and the tiger with a stick to protect Raghunath Das. And Raghunath didn't see it because he was Hare Krishna, his eyes were closed. And Sanatan was watching for a long time. Krishna was just standing there guarding. The tiger ultimately went away, and Krishna smiled at Sanatan and disappeared. And Sanatan Goswami, he's like the guru of the six Goswamis. He said to Raghunath Das, you are chanting Krishna's names and Radha's names for the purpose of engaging in their service, but you're doing it in such a way that Krishna is coming to engage in your service. Raghunath said, what are you speaking? I'm just chanting. And he said, no, your eyes were closed, but my eyes were open. There was a tiger right next to you. Raghunath said, a tiger next to me? There was a tiger. Tigers are dangerous. And Krishna came and he stood for so long time with a stick to protect you from the tiger. You are engaging Krishna in your service. Raghunath was very humbled. According to the Brijabasis and the histories, another time Sanatan Goswami, some days later, he came back. And it was the summertime. How many of you have been to Vrindavan in the summer? Someone told me that in some book of world records or something, the record of heat for the world was at Govardhan Hill during a particular summer. Govardhan, literally, during summertime, is one of the hottest places on the planet historically. So, Raghunath is chanting. He's just sitting next to one of his little ponds, chanting next to Radhakund, Shyamakund. And it's the summertime. And he doesn't have any shade. Just the sun is blazing upon him. And it's noontime. And he's so absorbed in the samadhi of kirtan. He was absorbed. He
he didn't even notice the sun. He didn't even notice the heat. He was just with Krishna and with Radha in their name. So Sanatana Goswami happened to see this. And ordinarily, the sun, it would be scorching your skin and burning you. But then he saw Sri Radha. On the banks of Radha Kund, Sri Radharani appeared. And she was standing directly under the blazing summer sun. And with her veil, she was making a shade over Raghunath Das Goswami's head. She was standing in the sun to protect him from the sun. Sanatan was just watching. And after the sun went down a little, she smiled at Sanatan Goswami and disappeared. And Sanatan Goswami said, Raghunath Das Goswami, you're praying to Radharani to be the servant of the servant of her servants, and the way you're praying is she's coming and serving you. First Krishna was in front of tigers, and now Radharani's perspiring under the sun to protect you. We have to do something about this. Because Raghunath Das Goswami refused to live in any type of residency. He just slept in the ground. He said, let us create a bhajan kutir, a little house where you could do your bhajan. Then you can pray to serve, and Krishna and Radharani don't have to come and serve you. This is the unconditional nature of prema. These are simple, famous stories. But what an incredible, powerful, esoteric message it is. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught, Nadanam na janam na sundarim kavitam vaja kadisha kamaye mama janmani janmanishwari bhavatat bhaktirohai tikitvai. Krishna, I don't want anything from you. I don't want wealth. I don't want fame or prestige or followers. I don't want sensory pleasures. I don't even want liberation from suffering. I only want to serve you wherever you want, whenever you want, for the rest of eternity. If you want me to take birth after birth after birth in this material world, that will be my greatest aspiration, if I could serve you unconditionally. Unconditionally means no selfishness, no egos. Samsidhir haritoshanam, for your pleasure. We chant the holy names for Krishna's pleasure, praying to serve. And in this world, in every religion, the tendency is, if we approach God at all, it's for him to satisfy our desires. Our wealth, our health, our position. So many things we have on our shopping list to ask God for. But the great saints, like little Prahlad, he had some serious things to ask for. If you were 5 years old and you were thrown into a pit of venomous snakes, you would probably say, God save me. Yes? He didn't ask for that. He just said, just let me serve you, my Lord. That is, even when Narasingha Dev gave him any benediction he desired, Prahlad just asked for basically two things. First, he said, my Lord, why are you tempting me? If I ask anything from you for my service, then I'm not a devotee. I'm a businessman. You know, I've paid my price, now I'm expecting something in return. Bhakti is not about business. I am here for you. If you must give me some benediction, if that's what pleases you, then let me just always remember you as the servant of the servant of your servants. And if you really want to, if you really insist on giving me something, then my father. He did so many terrible things to so many people. Give him liberation. He wanted nothing for himself. This is Srimad Bhagavatam. This is Chaitanya Bhagavat Chaitanya Charitamrita. This simple message. Devotees who risk their lives, who give their lives, everything for Krishna, everything for Radha, everything for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they want nothing except to remember, to be with the devotees, to serve, and to chant the holy name. So most of us would build a house because we want a nice place to live. Yes, but Raghunath Das Goswami had a nice little house made so that he could give better pleasure to Krishna. It was simple, but that was the purpose. And he personified really what is the spirit of Radha Kund. This highest dimension of humility and selfless devotion. Even a drop of that water, if we touch it with faith, the greatest benediction of love will fill our hearts forever. And interestingly, Rupa Goswami tells in his Upadeshamrita, of all the places in the universe, the earth planet is especially sacred because Krishna, Ram, Narasimha, Varaha, so many avatars appeared here. And of all the places on the earth, India is very important, very holy because so many avatars and sages and rishis have appeared here. And of all the places in Bharatvarsha, Mathura is where Krishna was born. And of all the places of Mathura, the forest of Vrindavan is where Krishna performed his most intimate pastimes. And in the forest of Vrindavan, the holiest place is Govardhan, Giriraj. Because Krishna lifted it with his little finger of his left hand for 7 days and gave the greatest pleasure to all of his devotees, all the cows and the bulls and the ox and the goats and the sheep and the deers and the peacocks and the parrots and the gopas and the gopis and everybody, 7 days together having a festival with Krishna under Govardhan Hill. And that's where he performs his most beautiful leelas with his cows, with his friends, with the gopis. And of all the places at Govardhan, this most sacred of all places is Radha Kund. Because that's where Radharani renders the deepest, most confidential, intimate, loving services to Krishna. And that's where Krishna reciprocates in the most intimate way. So this holy place was made from the print from the foot of Aristasura. How to transform something so apparently negative into something so supremely sacred. This is bhakti. Whatever situations come in life, see the opportunity to serve, to love. And not only are we transformed, not only are we transformed, but we are empowered to
create that transformation. Thank you very much.